God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today we continue examining the book of Daniel. These programs are based upon Brother Hutchings' newly updated book, Daniel the Prophet, his commentary on the prophecies concerning the historical and future Gentile world empires. Once again, Southwest Radio's Vice President, Dr. Kenneth Hill, provides the scripture reading, and I'll be asking Brother Hutchings questions about the content of Chapter 4. But before we have Dr. Hill read the passages, Brother Hutchings has a special announcement for some of our stations.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, and I would certainly encourage everyone to order a copy of my new updated book on Daniel if they don't already have a copy. But at present, we're somewhat concerned that our mail response and watch line response has been down the past 3 months. Doubtless, one factor is due to inflation, the decline in the value of the dollar, and the rising price of gasoline. Nevertheless, we have to receive sufficient contributions to at least pay the radio bills. There are three stations that I'm going to mention today that we may have to drop our program from unless the listeners help us meet the cost of what we are charged for the time of our program. We're going to be mentioning other stations later, but the stations that I want to mention today are WWNL in Pittsburgh, KLNG in Omaha, and KCNW in Kansas City. Now, you can make a contribution by calling 1-800-652-1144 or by writing to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Here now is our Vice President, Dr. Kenneth Hill, to read the scripture for the fourth chapter of Daniel.
Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream and the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase.
Our thanks to Brother Kenneth Hill for reading the scriptures. In recapping our study of chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar built a huge idol of gold that was an image of himself. He commanded the officials in all his provinces from Libya to India to come to Babylon and worship the image. The image was 66 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. However, the 3 Hebrews in his court would not fall down and worship the image, so they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was amazed and astounded when the 3 Hebrews were not burned at all, and one like the Son of God was seen walking with them in the fire. Chapter 3 is a prophetic type of what will occur in the tribulation. The Antichrist will not only demand that all governmental leaders and ecclesiastical leaders worship him, but that they take his number, 666, and also worship his image. The only way this can happen is by worshiping his image on television. So chapter 3 brings a clear warning of what will yet happen in the tribulation. At the beginning of chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is at peace and enjoying the luxuries of his palace, giving credit to Daniel's God for his blessings, but he had a dream. He dreamed of a great tree with fruit enough to feed his entire kingdom. All the birds rested in its branches, and the cattle found safety and food in its shade. But suddenly, a watcher and a holy one from heaven descended and cut the tree down. What did this represent, Brother Hutchings?
We read in Scripture that trees are also a symbol for nations. We read in Judges chapter 9 that the trees asked the olive tree to be a ruler over them. The olive tree is symbolic of spiritual Israel under the judges, but Israel failed under the judges to be God's witness to the nations. Next, the forest asked the fig tree to be ruler over them. The fig tree, as we read in Jeremiah, is symbolic of national Israel under the kings. But Israel failed under the kings to be God's witness to the nations. Next, the trees asked the vine to be a ruler over them. The vine is symbolic of messianic Israel under the reign of Messiah. But Israel said of Jesus the Messiah, "We will not have this man rule over us." So Israel failed under the kingdom promise to be a witness to the nations again. Next, the trees asked the bramble bush to rule over them. And the bramble bush said, "I will rule over you, but also a fire will come from me and destroy the forest." The bramble bush is a symbolic of the Antichrist one-world kingdom that will be burned with fire, of course, when Jesus returns. The tree that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about was his own empire that had spread and reached at that time to the extent of the civilized world. He owned everything, and he provided everything for all the nations under his rule. He was the king of the nations because Israel had failed.
Brother Hutchings, who was the watcher and the holy one that came down from heaven and cut the tree down?
You know, Brother Jerry, only in Daniel and Revelation are the watchers and the holy ones specifically mentioned, although they may be inferred in other parts of the Bible. A kingdom is composed of three things: territory, subject, and a king. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, but God is the king of a universal kingdom. His territory is the universe, and his subjects are the angels who obey him. Of course, we can become a citizen of heaven by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We understand that the scriptures indicated that one-third of God's angels followed Satan in his rebellion. But God still has his own angels of different ranks who are assigned different missions and responsibilities. There are seraphim, cherubim, and other ranks like the watchers and holy ones. We read in Revelation 4 of the four zoon or beast-like angels full of eyes who watch over all of God's creation. One of these watchers was probably watching old Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. In the same chapter, we read of what seems to be a heavenly senate, elders who sat upon seats. Seats are representative of legislative authority. You know, our senators run for a seat in Congress. The decrees to cut down Nebuchadnezzar's tree came from an order of a holy one. We read in Daniel 4:12, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." And the same is true today as it was in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. But this was the dream that the king dreamed.
Now, we read here in chapter 4 that when Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel to interpret the dream, that Daniel just sat and stared at the floor for an hour. Finally, the king told Daniel, "Oh, come on and tell me, Dan. It can't be that bad." Then Daniel looked at the king and said, "What's going to happen to you should not happen to your worst enemy." So what did Daniel tell the king was going to happen to him according to this dream?
Daniel told the king that the tree represented him and his kingdom, that the kingdom of Babylon had extended over the known earth at that time, and that the king himself had grown apathetic, selfish, and had used his riches and authority just to glorify himself rather than giving the glory to God. He went on to tell him that if he didn't change his ways, he would be out in the field for 7 years. But we must never forget that kings and rulers are ministers of God in the area of human government. Even though a king or ruler may not believe in God or adhere to the ordinance of God, he still derives his authority to rule from God. We read in Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. For he is the minister of God to thee for good." Now, of course, this references those who follow God's ordinance for human government. There are ministers of God in the church, and there are ministers of God in human government. And needless to say, there are apostates in both areas. Nebuchadnezzar had become an apostate king in that he ruled for his own power and glory rather than for the good of the people.
But of course, we know from the account here in Daniel, the king did make some adjustments for 1 year, but then he forgot about his promises, as many or most politicians do, and he again became overpowered by his own importance again.
Yes, Babylon's enormity and beauty began to overwhelm him, and he said to himself, "O king, you're the greatest. Just look at this majestic city you have built with your own two hands." In that moment of human weakness, the king forgot all about his resolution. He forgot the lesson that God's servant had taught him, that in all his glory, authority, and riches, they were by permission of God, though. We read, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." The same truth is expressed in Proverbs 29, verse 1. "He that being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And we read in 2 Peter 3, 9, that the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But the Scriptures do not say that there is no limit to the patience of God. We read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Man can tempt God once too often, and that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar.
And we know from the biblical account what happened. The king lost his mind. He imagined himself to be an ox, just as Daniel interpreted the dream. He lived out in the fields with the animals for 7 years. Is there a medical term for this type of mental illness, Brother Hutchings?
The Dictionary of Psychological Medicine describes such an illness as lycanthropy, and we quote, "the complete loss of personal identity and conviction of being changed into one of the lower animals is one of the most remarkable facts in psychological history that the race reveals." Lycanthropy, meaning wolf, or predatory animal. Now, when man in his own wisdom and pride, Brother Jerry, looks downward and inward to himself, God gives him the mind of a beast, because all beasts look down. Only when Nebuchadnezzar looked up did his sanity return. The lesson for us here is that the answer to all our problems lie in an upward direction. Nebuchadnezzar had received as much light and knowledge of God as any man could receive, yet he had to be brought down in judgment before he would believe. and received the God of whom Daniel witnessed. He was like most today who have been preached to so much that they have become gospel hardened, but there is a limit to the patience and mercy of God. To this truth, Nebuchadnezzar testified to the world.
Well, Brother Hutchings, is there a lesson in Daniel 4 for us today?
As I have said, all of Daniel is prophetic. The prophetic type for us here is that Babylon was perhaps one of the most beautiful cities ever built by man. But there is now a Babylon being built in the Persian Gulf, just a few miles south of the old Babylon. It is about one half completed for a million of the world's riches. The most luxurious hotels and homes, the shopping city of the world. We read in Revelation 17 and 18 of this Babylon during the coming tribulation, which will last for 7 years, when all the world will be at the mercy of a cruel world dictator who will be much worse than Nebuchadnezzar. And all who refuse to worship him as a god will have their heads cut off. This dictator, called the Antichrist, is also called the beast who rules all nations for 7 years. Daniel 4 is a warning to us today of this coming time of 7 years, as Daniel and Jesus himself said would be the worst time this world will ever see.
And Brother Hutchings, that's a time those trusting in Christ will miss. Friends, we pray you're in that number, but if not, you can be. Call 1-800-652-1144 and talk with one of our ministers about how to become a Christian. Best time to call would be from around 8 a.m. until about 4 or maybe 4:30 in the afternoon, Central Daylight Time. Everyone will want a copy of Brother Hutchings' updated commentary on Daniel. Get the 336-page Daniel the Prophet for a gift of $15. That's for one copy. But you very well may want to get more. If so, we'll send three copies in appreciation of your $40 contribution. And of course, if you don't have Brother Hutchings' commentary on the book of Revelation, you can get it at a reduced gift amount while this series is underway. The 224 oversized page book will be sent for a gift of $15. Better yet, get both books at the same time when you send an offering of $25. To make your contribution and request either or both books, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. When we complete this series, there will be 12 programs, one on each of the chapters of Daniel, and they're available on cassette tape or CD for a gift of $30. What a wealth of prophetic information in the books and the programs. Call, write, or go online to get them today. And ask for information on the three-day prophecy conference scheduled for August in Oklahoma City. We've invited an impressive list of speakers, and you can get complete details by calling 1-800-652-1144 or by visiting the website at swrc.com. Stay tuned now over most of these stations for a Bible question and answer from Dr. Larry Spargimino. Brother Hutchings and I return tomorrow for more on the Book of Daniel on your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries Question and Answer. Answering today's question is Dr. Larry Spargimino. Actually, this is the first in a series on Should We Curse Our Enemies? In Psalm 69, verses 22 and following, we read, "Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and make their loins continually to shake." Brother Larry, the psalmist is cursing his enemies. Should we curse our enemies?
Well, Jerry, Psalm 69 is one of the Psalms of imprecation. In the Psalms of imprecation, the psalmist calls down judgment and woe upon his enemies. There are imprecations in several other psalms also, including Psalms 35, 137, and 139, to name a few. Interestingly, there are even words of imprecation in the New Testament. For example, in 1 Corinthians 16:22, the Apostle Paul says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema," or let him be accursed. We have to remember that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. It doesn't say all Scripture with the exception of the Psalms of imprecation.
Well, Brother Larry, this sounds like an intriguing subject. What are the various views about the Psalms of imprecation? And share with us the view that you hold.
Well, Jerry, there are those who, first of all, would say that the imprecatory psalms are hateful and mean-spirited. They would say that God is a God of love, and since these imprecatory psalms don't seem very loving, they reflect the lower ethical standards of the Old Testament. Revelation, according to this view, is progressive. We are simply not bound by what is in the Psalms of imprecation. Well, I reject this view. Secondly, there are those who claim that the imprecatory psalms are really in the indicative mood and not in the imperative mood. They merely express what will happen to the wicked, but they do not express the wish that God would destroy the wicked. I reject this view also. Thirdly, there are some who would say that the psalms of imprecation express the personal desire of the psalmist, but they do not have God's endorsement. This would seem to be a possibility. The Bible reveals what God has said, but it also reveals things said and done by people who were not in the will of God. Judas hung himself. We are certainly not to do that. But I also reject this third view. Fourthly, and this is the view that I hold, there are those of us who believe that the Psalms of imprecation express God's righteous indignation against the wicked. There is nothing in the imprecatory Psalms that is inconsistent with what the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, reveal about the nature of God. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from the Psalms and placed them on the same level as the law and the prophets, and we find that in Luke 24:44.
What about the view that we have to consider the progressive revelation of the Bible?
Well, Jerry, revelation is progressive in the sense that we move from that which is partial and obscure to that which is complete and stated with clarity. Revelation is not progressive, however, in the sense that we move from that which is untrue to that which is true.
That's today's question and answer. To get a copy of the question and answer publication, call 800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the web at swrc.com. Include a gift of $3, please, to cover shipping and handling. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report or question and answer.